Viewers, listeners, welcome to another edition of Blighty Talks Bricks. For the regular viewers, you'll notice that I'm not on my favoured sofa. I'm actually in the hot chair, so to speak. So that means there's a difference. The difference is that today, unbelievably so, is the end of Series 3, which means that we've now recorded 30 of these podcasts. That shocks me greatly. We wanted to do something slightly differently, and it just felt that the right thing for me to do was to bring back two of the guys of the team that have been a big inspiration to me, have given me confidence to go on this journey, and have been there. Their continued support has been something that humbles me greatly, but I'm really glad to have them with me. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Harry Blight and Finlay Rowden. Guys, welcome to the wrap-up edition of Blighty Talks Bricks. How are we?
Series 3. Everyone, round of applause. Absolutely brilliant. 30 episodes. I don't know how many months, but 21,000 subscribers.
Big number.
Huge.
Massive. Big number.
Massive.
But, number 30.
Before we get into this, because I know you guys have been jet-setting, you've certainly been moving your feet around the place. Harry, what have you been up to for the last few months?
Well, thanks for having us back. It's been a bit of a crazy couple of months. Out ducking and diving in the market, trying to get things done. It's been tough. I think everyone's going through the same sort of pain barrier, so to speak. It has been tough, but we're getting there. And then personally, went to Glastonbury. That was amazing. What a place. Just
your
incredible
first time?
Atmosphere. First time at Glastonbury. Certainly won't be the last.
Weather was nice.
Weather was great. Toilets not so great, but we won't dwell on that. Incredible. Amazing place. Like you say, plenty of moving your feet. Some amazing music. Really thoroughly enjoyed then. And then followed up with my Gurkha race. So it's my fourth time of doing it. It's for the Gurkha Welfare Trust. Got my little medal.
Congratulations. What does that involve?
So it's 5K over Putney Common, carrying a wicker basket on your back, which is called a doko. It's what the Gurkhas do when they're signing up to be sort of a Gurkha soldier in the British Army. I did it with 15 kilos of sand in that basket as well. And then the 5K is sort of quite hilly up and down across Putney Common. So I got it done in 38 minutes, which I was happy with.
What time was you trying to do?
I was trying to do 40 just because I've not been as on it with my fitness and my running this year as I'd like to have been. Like I say, fourth year doing it. Great charity, great cause, but this was my slowest time. But given the conditions and the condition I went into when I started, I was just happy to get it done under 40.
What got you into the Gurkhas charity? How did you choose?
I'd seen a video about them and what they did, and I was running a lot at the time and thought I'd do that as a challenge. So did it first of all with 10K, and then the last three times I've done it with 15. So
they're an amazing part of the British Army, and actually we don't, in my view, we don't look after them well enough, but they are an amazing, they're supposed to be unbelievably strong and brave. And I think they've been involved with the British Army for,
it's like 200 years,
and then whenever
I've been there, there's always been a certain contingent of Gurkhas running it, and Guy did it last year in 19 minutes with 15 kilos on his back.
He didn't have a little shortcut, did he?
No, that was him like moving. That's as quick as I could do a 5K over flat country with nothing on my back. It's crazy.
Top athletes, and that's effectively what these guys are.
Absolutely.
When you see them, I mean, it's the same in the marathon. You see some of the times they do, and you just, and you know, they're finished, and you think, really? Not even halfway.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
So you've been busy?
Been busy, yeah, very busy.
Who's your favourite act at Glastonbury?
Because I'm biased and an Arsenal fan, Louis Dunford was amazing. He was in one of the smaller arenas. I really like his music, full stop. All his music's amazing, but North London Forever.
I knew that. Anthem.
Yeah. I've got a video of me crying, basically, for the entire song. So, you know. And I was sober at this point. I'd not had a drink.
Is that because we didn't win anything?
Maybe it was that. But, yeah, I was in tears at that. They were amazing. Coldplay was great.
Oh, yeah,
Chris Martin is most amazing entertainer in the world. 100,000 people. Yeah. Just
and all the lights.
All the lights. That was incredible.
Did you see Keane?
Didn't see Keane. No, I was spiraling brilliant. Out of control at that point. Brilliant. But no,
you know.
Missed Keane. Saw Sampha. He was amazing. Just a really talented person. And James Blake was great as well.
So who was the worst? Call them out.
I don't think we saw a single performer that was bad, so to speak. Everyone was amazing. The atmosphere is incredible. You've got 200,000 people in a field. Not a single bit of trouble. Just everyone's having fun and enjoying themselves. Yeah, it was amazing.
Talking about fun, you've certainly got some air miles, Andy.
I have.
Tell us what you've been up to.
I've flew to Malawi, as you do.
For me, it sounds scary.
Yeah, it's
so why?
Because a mixture of reasons. I wanted to get into international development and charity. I do believe that we need to give aid to these countries, and obviously our aid that we've given our economic situation has rapidly gone down. So I've always wanted to get involved in that, and the Celtic Foundation. Who obviously I support Celtic.
It's good that you've come out about that.
Yeah,
we need to talk about the problems in your life, so it's good that we're getting that out.
Mental awareness. And then the Celtic Foundation were doing a trip there, and it just worked for me. I quit my job to go out there, spent 3 weeks out there, wanted to do longer, and it was just a humbling, inspiring.
So what would your daily activity be? Because you're obviously... In the jungle, am I assuming that's...
We were in the main city, and then there's just a village outside of it called Masalani, and our daily routine would be getting the bus from our lodge to this school obviously there's many schools in the village, but we focused on one school in Masalani, and it was building classrooms, painting classrooms, manual labour basically, with work helping the contractors out there. And then obviously the kids were at school during that period, so they would obviously just spend the day standing around us when they weren't in classes and trying to speak.
These are children that are homeless?
They'll live in the village, a mixture of ages because it's primary and secondary there, and they will be staying in their huts, basically. The poverty was... I knew it would be bad, but... It does. It's little things like a lot of the kids have never seen themselves before. So when I'm taking a selfie or a picture gets taken...
They just don't have a mirror.
There's no mirrors, there's no windows, so they can't see reflections. Mm. And so it's just...
I'm going to move there, you know that.
That's exactly... You and me both.
I'm straight over there. That's such a like heaven to me.
So it's little stuff like that where they were just so in awe of just looking at themselves in... obviously a picture.
We never think about that, do we?
And when someone told me before at the airport, so I flew to Ethiopia, and it's a 14-hour journey all in all, and Ethiopia was the longest flight from London to Ethiopia, and I was talking, and it's like a hub for Africa, so you can fly there and connecting flights to wherever you're going, and obviously I was going to Malawi. But I was speaking to someone for about 6 hours of this trip. And
poor person, whoever that was.
I was on the wrong seat. And it was an overnight flight as well, so I'm sure she wanted to get some sleep.
Tired and bored.
So I was in the aisle seat, she was in the middle, and her dad was by the window. And so I was speaking with
poor
her.
Person.
And she got up because she asked to go to the toilet about 4 hours in, 5 hours in. And so I helped her up and she just collapsed in the aisle.
Jesus.
So obviously, because it was really hot and she was wearing, I'm guessing she was Muslim, traditional conservative dressing. So it's obviously she was boiling and she just collapsed. But the dad didn't even move.
Did he not?
Didn't even move, wasn't interested. And I obviously got down and asked the staff to get some water, but the dad didn't even flinch. And so it's just those kind of people on a flight that it's just, you get all kinds of people. Malawi's mostly Christian, but obviously you've got Muslim countries as well, so just the people watch. But getting out to Malawi was, like I say, I raised $6,000 personally.
Well done.
And thank you. And yeah, building schools, I'm definitely going to go back. I've made some good relationships with the...
I was just going to say, have you met some nice people over there?
Yeah, some really nice people. So I met an MP out there. And
has he still got a job?
He's still got a job. Oh, right, I think he's more popular now. But yeah, met the MP, met teachers, obviously the students, some of the students I'm still in touch with through the teachers. Because it's £36 a year to put someone in school there. So a lot of the local kids can't afford that. And £30 a year to feed one child. And that's with a meal a day. And a lot of them are going without that. And it's basic stuff like that that really hit home.
What's the sort of like cost of, what's like relative, what's the cost of living or what, you know?
It's quite self-sustainable. So they'll grow their own food in a village because a lot of them won't travel out to other villages or cities. So it's self-sustainable. They've got goats out there that they rear and other animals. So, but yeah, it's just the poverty of it. And there's a lot of, a kid I was with, was a, looked after his mum who was really ill and his two sisters.
Really?
And he couldn't afford school, but he was working as well to try and afford school for the sisters. Mm. So stuff like that that you take.
Would you say it was like a life-changing experience?
Yeah, and I think that that's an overused term. Because I think that people do say that, or that genuinely for me it was. I knew that it was something I wanted to do and I want to get more into international development and also work with charities at home as well because obviously, relatively speaking, people are struggling massively here.
Absolutely.
But it's something I always wanted to do because Africa's got a hugely increasing birth rate and we've got a decreasing birth rate like most of the Western world. And so it's going to become a major player, Africa, in general. So I think to have that attention on it, to look at it, is I'm definitely going to go back and hopefully spend a bit longer and crack on.
Well, like I said, you've both been busy. Well, you've both been gallivanting and jumping on strange aeroplanes by the sound of it.
Boring people to death.
We've cracked on with the podcast.
Absolutely.
I know you guys are in touch with it, even from a distance.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here because I've got a funny feeling you're going to ask me some questions, so I'm going to just plop my cards down because I'm going for the day.
You're bang on. I'm going to start off with a little prop.
Don't know if anyone can see that, but that's for Phil and I to
use at various times when you interject. So just we'll leave that hanging there. Like Finn said, 20,000 subscribers is incredible. We've outdone some quite established sort of characters in the podcasting world. So I think that's a testament to the sort of commitment you put in, the hard work, and the range of guests you've got. Just been pretty fascinating, really. I don't know what you thought of it, Finn.
I think the range of guests, I'd said this in the last one when we were rounding up series one, but the range of guests has been phenomenal. Just with, obviously, you've got Ricardo, who was working with kids. You've got range, obviously, within the property industry.
That was a traumatic podcast in many ways.
Yeah, and it was so important to speak about it, but at the same time, it was harrowing, especially with his experiences and I'd take my hat off to him because it takes a certain person to be able to do that.
I certainly couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No way.
And obviously you've had property inside the property industry, sports people, fitness, wellness gurus. You've had them all. Car dealers.
Yeah. I was just going to say Neil Vass was sort of, for me as a bit of a petrol head, was a really interesting one as well. But yeah, a great variety, which I think adds to it all, really.
Well, you say that and I sort of say this quite often, it's been humbling that these people have given their time up, none of them got paid. They were all amazing, lots of people I didn't know, they were all amazing individuals, very humbling. But what I also liked is the fact that they were always happy to open up about their own experiences, which is not easy to do, you might do it when you're sitting in the pub or you're having a coffee, but to actually do it on something that you know is going to be out in the in the public domain, it's going to sit there. You equally know it's growing. For them to come on here and do that, it's just been incredible for me.
I think, obviously, you hadn't met some of your guests before. You'd spoken to them on the phone, but you hadn't met a number of your guests before. So for them to feel comfortable enough to open up, having not met you in person before, and speak about everyday life, and your first question is always, how are you? I think that's also important to open up and that mental awareness.
As I say, I mean, it's just very lucky that they were happy to do that. Mm. And I think also the other thing I should shout out to, you know, everyone's been amazing, but when I think back, when I went to Spoonie, when I went to Matt Fleming, when I went to Peter Truscott, and I said, guys, would you do me a favour and come on a podcast? Can't pay you. Bearing in mind, they said to me, we had no viewers. We had no listeners. We had nothing. All we had was the studio here, and the guys and girls in the studio here have been amazing. Brilliant. At Chart Street. But we had nothing. So it was a big leap of faith from those people, you know, particularly the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To actually say, you know, Blighty, we'll do that.
Yeah.
We're lucky now that we're in a position where we are having people reach out to us.
Yeah.
Which I think will become more prevalent in, hopefully, when we get season four underway. But for those three guys to come on in the very beginning,
yep.
When you're actually saying, you're talking to the wall, really.
Yeah.
But we're putting bricks on that wall.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you alluded to it a little bit there. Obviously, with 20,000 subscribers, you do get a little bit of feedback. So we went out to the listeners and we did a poll on how many times has Steve said that his guests are lovely, lovely human beings. The answers sometimes were as funny as the actual truth. So 7% just responded with don't care, which is always good when you get in customer engagement like that. Incredibly, though, you've said it over 240 times. So,
well,
I think
if you'd asked me to put a number, I said it was over. I would have said if there's 30, I'd probably say it three times. So, yeah, I might say it's a bit more than that. But
so, I think we need to get your thesaurus at some point because
240
yeah.
times.
Yeah,
I've really said it that many times.
They have been lovely, though.
What? Finn, back to you.
And actually, on some of the engagement we get as well, we've had some comments.
There we go.
I think the internet's quite a funny place. It's pretty horrible, but it's quite funny as well. So we had someone reach out on one of the clips when you and Lee were talking about football and soccer in the States. And one guy said, this guy's been trying to be an extra in a fucking Guy Ritchie film, which was a highlight of mine. I don't know about if you had any that you went through.
I don't mind being an extra in a Guy Ritchie film. I love his stuff.
I don't mind soccer. I quite like the use of word.
For me, it's football.
Yeah. But
listen, it's a grubbing sport over there for sure.
Because you had Soccer AM, a few soccer magazines. Gillette Soccer Saturday.
I think Sabutio was called Soccer, wasn't it?
Yeah. So you've got a range of soccers there. Lee Dixon was brilliant, by the way, touching on Lee Dixon.
Do you know what? I'm going to say it. Lovely
guy.
Amazing human being. No, seriously. Just really, again, you know, thank you, Lee. Somebody that just said, Blighty, of course I will. And again, opened up, talked about things. I mean, you know, talked about it, gave us a sort of a view of the way he sees commentary, that, but he also gave us an honest view why he didn't go into management.
Yeah. And he's obviously a very busy man because he's been in Berlin, obviously, with his punditry.
Does a lot of punditry, did, you know, a lot of stuff in America, in the States, and has got a busy life as well. All of these people have got busy lives, and for them to find the time, I'm going to choose my words differently now. It's been very nice.
Yeah, and I think also, obviously, Ross Kemp, range of guys that have come on, and his stories and the way he tells them, yeah, how absolutely. He's opened up, is this man's been on copious amounts of tours elsewhere in the country, yeah. Risked his life, and to have him in there at the start of season three is just testament to you. But how did you meet him? Was it through charity?
No, we met through a friend of mine at a golf, who I knew golf, who went to school with him, very, very fluky, 30 odd years ago. And just got on with him. What did I do wrong then?
I just fancy calling it
out.
Oh,
okay, that's cool. Okay, cool. I'm sitting there thinking, did I do anything wrong? So, I just got along with him. And again, I reached out and said, look, and it was Blighty, absolutely. Just amazing.
Mm.
You know, we haven't had any individuals say no. We had one or two organisations that said, yes, but we'll see.
Right.
But that's completely changed now. I mean, it's the other way. We are getting people that are reaching out to us, and Coral does a great job. Big shout out to Coral for all of the things that she puts together. I mean, very, I don't, as you know, I don't enjoy it, but it's very easy for me to come and sit here and talk to people.
Yeah.
That side of it. But Cole does a great job in presenting it, getting it in order, works really closely with the guys here and girls that do a great job as well. Just, we're very lucky that we can put something together that looks okay.
Yeah, it looks more than okay. Absolutely. Yeah. 30 episodes on, have you found it easier to do these episodes now? Obviously, it's going to be more difficult at the start, but...
Well, I'll go back to, I like the idea of Malawi because I won't be out of see myself. If we can dub myself and have subtitles, then that's perfect.
I need makeup. Yeah.
And don't worry with the makeup. I mean, that's a lost cause. I like talking to nice people. That's something I've always liked since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't like numpties. That was the same when I was a kid as well. Certain kids in the alley I didn't want to play with.
Yeah.
So to sit here and talk to people that are interesting, open, that's quite easy for me.
Mm.
But no, not seeing myself and not listening to myself. I mean, that grates. And I'm told it gets better. Whoever told me that, I think a few people, in my case, they were lying. It's not getting easier or better in any way. But no, it's and there is a serious cause behind it. You know, that hasn't changed. Like you went out to do your charity bit.
Yeah.
I'm very passionate about this country. I'm very passionate that we have a housing crisis. I'm not pleased, but I'm so pleased that the country got itself together to give the Conservatives the kick up the arse they needed.
Yeah.
They showed their arrogance. I saw it a long way off. They showed their arrogance. They showed their disregard, disrespect for the public, the people that they serve. Don't become an MP if you don't want to serve the public.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm so glad as a Conservative vote. I was very sad. It was the first time in my adult life I never watched the election either on radio or on TV.
Really?
I actually went to bed because I knew the outcome. And having been a Conservative voter, I was absolutely disgusted the way they behaved. And I am so glad that that's public knowledge now. The trouble is that the country is in a shit place.
Mm.
Labour, good luck. I will support you in, and that's those words coming out of my mouth are not easy.
Yeah.
I will support you because I worry about the kids' kids, and what we're going to do. So the podcast is about that. It is actually working that way, you know.
And do you think, I'm sorry to interrupt, but do you think, I know this is season closure and season finale and it's going to be lighthearted and we have some questions for you here, but do you think, touching on that, do you think that this talk about YIMBYs instead of NIMBYs now and grey belt with this Labour government is going to help your industry?
My old mum told me that talk's cheap. Actions speak louder than words. They're making the right noises. I think the challenge is a lot greater than they've got. They're not going to do it unless they engage with the professionals in the sectors.
Mm.
And I'm not just talking about the housing industry. You know, our water authorities. What a dreadful state they're in. So what they should be doing is engaging professionals now. Don't come along as an MP when you've never served in that specific situation and then think you're going to be the god, because you are not. And so if they engage the professionals, and again, this is about us talking to the public and saying, we've got professional people out there that likewise care. We should be engaging them. We should be saying, and to start dealing with people's worries and fears. I don't want the big new development next door to me, and I've made that clear.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm aware that we've got to start opening our eyes and start looking at things. You know, our prisons. I mean, in the news, this will be a few weeks before this comes out, but our prisons, you know, we're letting people out of prison with a 40% less period. Why?
Yeah.
Why? What do you think that is going to achieve? You know, these people are in there for a reason. Yeah, and when they're in prison, we should be going through an education process. But to actually just... It's a bit like when you're a kid. You do something wrong. If you don't get a punishment for it, you don't learn.
Yeah. It's like Ricardo said, it's resources. And obviously, he said resources.
Well, and I agree with Ricardo to an extent, but those resources have got to be managed. You know, I saw some of the chief executives of some of these big water authorities. They are on massive, massive six-figure salaries, yet their companies are in not only in debt, but are getting more in debt. Is only one organisation going to go and bail them out, and that's called Taxpayer Great Britain PLC.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we have a majority. I think that there's a lot of talk. Let's see if Sir Keir Starmer can grab his cabinet, use the professionals that are in the various industries, not just property, and let's actually start to make things better.
Yeah.
And that's my fingers crossed.
I say, Ricardo, if you haven't seen the episode yet, I think it's episode 5 or 6, but watch it. It is brilliant.
It is.
With Ricardo.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, a tough one, but needed to, you must
really
listen.
Really powerful.
We've got some questions.
Fire away.
For you. The first question I've got is, who would be your dream guest, if you had anyone, or dream industry?
That's a very good question. I mean, alive?
Yeah, let's start alive. Because then when they're watching,
well,
Trump, when you're watching.
Okay, I mean, I'd probably say that we have, in my eyes, we have two leaders in this country. I'm a royalist. King Charles, you know, I'm still mourning the loss of Queen Elizabeth. I thought she was an amazing woman. My favourite royal has always been Princess Anne. But I think that King Charles has got a tough job. I think that would be a great podcast. And I think, obviously, the Prime Minister, you know, Sir Keir Starmer. We could have a chat about Arsenal. He's a big Arsenal fan. But on that side of it, I'd like to... Certainly those two would be up there for me.
Any questions?
Yeah, I mean, you picked up on it there, Sir Keir Starmer. Obviously an Arsenal fan, you're both in your 60s. Is there anything, if you were Prime Minister, I suppose it's a little bit like your magic wand and your three things. What kind of thing would you be doing?
For the country today?
For the country, if you were the Prime Minister, yeah.
Well, I think in one of the episodes I did with Jamie Spencer, I was asked a similar sort of situation, and I said the first thing I'd do, that was under a Conservative government, I'd sack the cabinet. Well, that's happened. I'd be addressing the main things, housing, the NHS. I'd like him to, and I've never met him, I've not watched a lot of him on TV, I'll be honest. I'd like him to have big balls. I'd like him to be strong. I'd like him to make those tough decisions. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. Don't appease the left or the right. Look after the majority. It's quite interesting when you look at votes in what's gone on in the election.
Yeah.
You know, their vote, I believe this is right, didn't really rise a lot from when we had the last general election.
Yeah.
To when they actually... if you like, got humped,
yeah.
To now they're actually in dominance. So yeah. I think that the jury's still out on the country on Labour. I don't think that's an unfair thing to say. So grow some clangers, let's lead, let's be strong, let's deal with those difficult questions. Don't let the media dictate what goes on. And I'm seeing that going on. I mean, we just had the attempted assassination of former President Trump. The media make things up. The media start stories. I just hope that Sir Keir can actually just understand it. He's a very bright guy. I know people that have met him. He's a very bright guy. Lead. Get your cabinet. You've got amazing professionals in the country and around the world. Lead. Lead us out of this problem that we're in, this crisis we're in. Be strong. Make good decisions, bold decisions. And look at every aspect that involved in daily life.
And what's the aim going forward then? What's the ambition? You've got 20,000 subscribers, 30 episodes. How many months in? Six months in?
We started in early January. As we're sitting here now, we're in mid-July. I got told a stat that the other day that 70% of podcasts never get past the third episode.
That's crazy.
I mean, you guys will remember this. We had dinner a couple of times. We sat down with Coral and we talked about this. I talked to family members about this podcast, and you all know that I'm not comfortable in some ways with what I do, but I am very proud that we're being acknowledged.
Yep.
I'm very proud that the people that have come on have just been really great. We've got an amazing list of people that we're talking to about just about getting dates. They've actually said they're coming on.
Yep.
It's just actually getting dates in the diary.
That, yeah.
And that's people, you know, we've got some big organisations. I'm not going to let too many cats out of the bag today, but we've got some big organisations coming in from the property world.
Yep.
We've got some really big stars, sports stars, music stars, TV presenters. And we've got a lot. The most, I remember you saying to me, Harry, that because I know you're a big podcast fan.
Massive, yeah.
You saying to me that some of the best podcasts are actually with, you know, Joe Public, shall we call it?
Yeah, you know, the unexpected.
People in the street, unexpected. Absolutely. You know, take the Regardo one.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, just people that are going about their daily business, dealing with the challenges in the field that they're specialist in, or just actually, I mean, we've got a guy coming on that lives on a barge.
Yeah.
Him and his partner live on a barge. You know, we've got a guy coming on that actually lives in a tent.
Yeah.
Sort of things that, I mean, never really occurred to me before we did a podcast. And as much as I wanted this awareness about the property industry, that I wanted people in this country to know that they're not all bad, horrible developers. They don't just eat up green space for the sake of it.
Yeah.
That they do, they're part of taxes and revenue that's paid to the Chancellor, great infrastructure, and also the things they do for charities.
Yeah.
Mm. And we, you know, we, and Coral does a great job in getting, talking with these people, and we get these dates sorted out. It's not easy to do, and also the guys here, the studio that we use, you know, their flexibility and the way they've been with us has been fantastic. So we've got a lot of people. This isn't about one person. This isn't about this ugly bloke here with glasses and a cap on. This is not what this is about. This is a much bigger picture, and I'm so proud that that recognition across the board is coming out.
Have you had to edit much out?
No, it's funny you say that. I mean, we've had a few people, a few friends come and watch, and if anyone, you know, shout out to anyone out there, if anyone wants to come and watch an episode being recorded, please do. I'm going to touch wood. Shall I do a Ross?
You've got a big...
We've never stopped the camera rolling, and I think we've had 3 edits.
Wow.
And we're now into 30 plus episodes. So, and I've had people say to me, "Oh, I expected it to be very stop start."
Yeah.
And I've always got in my mind the only way I can sit in front of these big bright lights and I think it's 4 cameras, and you know 4, 5, 6 microphones, whatever it is for me just to imagine that we're just having a chat over a cup of coffee or a beer. That's my mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to chat. I don't want to take anyone, the guests, they're not getting paid. I don't want to dig anyone out. I don't want to, it's not about that. I would just want, and it's not about me, it's about them.
Yeah.
And if they want to, within reason, we'll talk about what they want to talk about. And so we've not had to do that. And I just think that goes back to what you said earlier, Finn, you know, we'll just try and make it feel as nice as we can.
Yeah. I think you should do one where you can get the comments up as... do a live one.
A live stream.
And have comments and reply to comments.
That sounds scary.
That is, and it'll notify you in the comments and you can reply.
Yeah.
Well, again, if we can find somebody else to help us out to get the comments flushed up, then we'll give it a go. Listen, as long as we're doing good, and I think we are doing good, and as long as we're bringing a positive vibe to a very negative environment, you know, Gareth Southgate recently just said in one of his, and I made him write it in one of his press conferences, Great Britain's an angry country at the moment.
Mm.
And I want to get the anger. I want to help to get some of the anger out there with the people that come and sit here and talk. And hopefully the things we've talked about on here have been a little bit funny, but have been serious.
Yep.
Yeah.
I certainly do know from the emotional wellness side that it has been helpful to a number of people. And I think if you go back to the first one we did in January, I said to you guys then, if we can help one charity,
yeah,
if we can help one person, well, we're doing more than that.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
We're doing more than that.
Absolutely.
Have you been on a narrowboat before? What made you want to get these kind of... How do you go about getting these people?
I must have run and cycled and walked past more narrowboats than I can count.
Yeah.
I've always thought it looks like an intriguing lifestyle.
Absolutely.
It's something for me. I mean, I'm probably, you don't want to be fat like me because you probably couldn't wander up and down too much because they're quite narrow, aren't they? Gives you a clue, narrow boat. But I just think it looks a lovely lifestyle. It is a lifestyle, and it's something that I don't think they use bricks. They might do in the hull, I don't know. But But actually, it's a lifestyle. And so just to talk about somebody's lifestyle. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation. I quite like that. I quite like the idea of that. Mm. I certainly wouldn't want to live in a tent.
No.
I mean, thought going to Glastonbury in a tent would be too much for me.
We also had a couple of questions from our viewers. So one, probably no prizes guessing who asked this, was what's the golf goal for the rest of this year and 2025? I know you've got a busy couple of weeks out on the course.
I enjoy golf now more than I've ever enjoyed golf, but that's because I'm not as competitive, not as...
Absolute bullshit there.
No shots.
Okay, before you were born, I was very competitive. No, so it is more enjoyable. Life as you know,
yep.
Professional life is tough.
Absolutely.
Toughest I've ever known it. So it's nice to be out on the links.
Yep.
Gets you away from it. Gets you away from your phone. Gets you a little bit of... I've hosted a thing with Lee Dixon for his charity dance thing at Loch Lomond. I'm very lucky. I've got a trip to Turnberry organised. I've got a few hospice days.
Yep.
And a few charity days. I couldn't be at one last week for Dan Walker and Danny Willett.
Yep.
For theirs. One up in Sheffield. Rotherham Golf Club, great charity. So going to these events, bring awareness to the charities and do what we can. And then if I hit it straight a few times, happy days.
Would you try and bring your handicap down? I know you were brilliant back in the day. But
mine seems to go upwards. I'm told it should go downwards. But, I mean, if people want to come and have a go in my body, they're more than welcome. I mean, if Tiger Woods got in my body, he'd struggle, let me tell you.
If Trump can do it.
Yeah, no, he helps because he's got trees that move. Because the Secret Service, I think if they see the ball going down, I think they fill the bunker in before it's landed, so it don't go in there.
And then the other question that sort of, we had a couple of viewers ask it, but something that I was intrigued with as well, I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of them in the flesh, these podcasts, but who was your favourite guest and who was your most surprising, the one that you thought would maybe have a different angle on things or who came out with something that you weren't necessarily expecting?
I think, it's a really difficult question.
Because they each bring so different things to each guest.
I think Ricardo was the one where I could have completely lost it from an emotional point of view of being, upset. I think, and I'm not saying it because you guys are sitting on the sofa, but you two in the beginning, that was the most important one. Because I had to...
Because of your guests.
Well, I had to talk about... I had to talk about my demons.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, my friends knew my demons. My close family knew my demons. But I had to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then to have Spoonie, who is just like a super little hero.
Go
on,
say it. Lovely person. That's fine. We'll let you off.
No, I'm trying to... See, I'm becoming tongue-tied now. See, first time in my
life. Thank God for that.
And Peter Truscott made some great points. Sean Ellis made... I think it's too difficult. I'm just mulling them over in my mind.
Yeah.
And I know the people coming, likewise, are going to have some really good stories because I know them. Mm. Every time I sit down with people, and I'll be honest, and Coral knows this, there's been many a time when we're driving down in the car, and I've said to Coral, I'm not feeling this. I'm having a bad day myself. You've got to be upbeat.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I don't fucking feel upbeat today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've got a guest that's made an effort, come from miles,
yep.
Changed their diary to sit there. Well, they don't want to see miserable me sitting on the other side of the sofa.
Yeah.
So that is... But as soon as you start speaking to them, they're great.
Yeah. Would you say that's your biggest challenge is, on those bad days, trying to turn that around and getting in the zone?
I think that's the same for everyone that feels like I do, when you have those lows. And also, I think it's much better now because I'm not saying it's okay to have those lows, but it's okay to have those lows.
Yeah.
It's whereas a few years ago, it wasn't okay to have those lows. My upbringing, which was loved, my upbringing, society. It, you know, I'm a butch fella, aren't I? You know, I got to be, you know, stiff upper lip and all of that malarkey.
Yeah.
So it's easier now. And also, I also know that it passes.
Yeah.
You know, it's peaks and troughs. What I don't know yet is what necessarily causes it. What I don't know yet, how long it's going to last.
Mm.
But I've always got on with stuff. But sometimes when you're getting on with stuff at work, that's a different feeling to what today is, because I'm going to work and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When these things, but I've got these lovely people coming.
244.
who are going to make, and I say this again, you know, I've not once had a podcast that I've done where I haven't had the feeling after of feeling more wholesome.
Yep.
You know, I feel as though the people that have come, if I didn't know them, I now know them. The people that I did know, I'm even more connected to them.
Yep.
And I get some great messages from them, you know, great messages. So that side of it, that's inspiring.
You said the people have reached out to you about when obviously you've opened up and they've reached out to you, or some have said that they feel the same. And like you say, if that's helped one person, then...
And, you know, we said one person in the beginning, if we could do one, it's more than that.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some people that I haven't spoken to in years have come out and reached out and struggling with various things. I've had some WhatsApp messages, I've had some texts. I've had people on LinkedIn that are direct messages that I don't know, who are saying, thank you, because I felt like that, or I feel like that, or I have days like that, or moments like that. So... just to be able to have that is great. And somebody else, I must say, you know, and, you know, Emma, my wife, puts up with me, really puts up with me. I mean, you know, I think I can be a difficult bugger. I'm not always this smiley, happy chap that some people see. And there are a lot of pressures running your own business. And especially when you're in the time that we're in now.
Yep, absolutely.
And her support and understanding has been second to none.
Yeah.
Second to none. As of family and friends. And but my family have been amazing, but my friends have stepped up as well, you know. People that have come to me have put their arm around me.
Yep.
Who I would have said they were an associate.
But they've turned into they've taken
me to one side at the appropriate moment, said, yeah. So all of that has been wonderful.
And that's what it's about. And I think being educated about different industries as well, and having a laugh and talking about charity. So I cannot wait for episode 4 and 5. I'm already looking forward to the 50th episode party.
Yeah.
That is going to... There was one thing I wanted to pull you up on.
I knew there would be a problem somewhere along the line.
I think it needs to be said, and it was back in season 2, but you did manage to put... season 3, you managed to put on a Saracen's top, and not Harlequin's, obviously. So you've gone to that extra mile. With Liam Brady, you should not have put a Juventus top on.
It should have been a Celtic football club.
It's funny.
Top on.
It's funny because I looked at Liam Brady and I had a couple of chances there with Liam.
Yeah.
I could have gone Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I could have gone Juventus. It's funny, that Celtic thing never. No. What we did go out. And
I would have bought it.
Listen. We did go out and have a lovely lunch after.
Yeah.
We had a really nice lunch. A really nice lunch. And he absolutely tore into me about the Rangers bit, because I don't think he would have come on if he'd known beforehand. But no,
yeah.
And again, amazing guy.
Yeah.
Super footballer, unbelievably gifted footballer. Beautiful was what my dad's old friend called him.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get a game of golf sorted out. He's been busy as well, so we're trying to get a game of golf sorted out. But a great podcast as well.
Yeah. And it's a great opportunity then for people to get more involved and
people absolutely.
To come and watch if they want to come and watch. And
I'd love to have them. If they want to get in touch and they want to come down and see what we do, to see the magic that goes on the other side of the lights, we can do that. But no, it's been great. You know, that side of it has been great.
Some would say it's been lovely.
Some would. I would never say that. I don't think lovely is a word that I use very often.
No, thank you. Thanks very much for having us on.
and thank you for a wonderful third series that's out already in all good platforms. And we're looking forward to what's to come.
Bring it on.
Guys, I said at the beginning, you are my inspiration. It was effectively yours and sort of Cole's idea, really. I never knew what podcasts were. I do listen to them now. I always think of you guys when I'm sitting here. And so thank you very much for coming on again.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I do think I've got away with it lightly again, we used to. But I know what you could ask me, so I'm really glad that you haven't asked me. Thanks very much. Enjoy your travels. Enjoy work. I hope things get better for in business front.
Yep.
Lovely to see you both.
Thanks very much.
Viewers, listeners, we come to an end of another episode of Blighty Talks Bricks. I can't quite believe that it's 30 episodes. That's season 3 in the can. Season 4, season 5, I don't know where it'll go after that. But if you help us and you can click that old subscribe button, it gives us a lot of confidence. And I look forward to seeing you all soon. Take care. Stay safe. Lots of love.